say to myself.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Dennis Miller Show. Dennis Miller here, endeavoring to get things wrong charmingly. I'm coming to you from the Isle of Manhattan, and one of the biggest atrocities that I can remember as far as fairness goes is the bombing of France's Tavern years ago by the FALN. And our next guest, he is an indefatigable bambino of his father, Frank Connor, who was killed in that bombing. He never forgets. I want to give him access every time. We talk about other issues, but I want you to know the core sentiment here is, you know how they say, we must never forget. Well, I'll never forget that, and I know he won't. This is Joe Connor. Joe, how are you?
Dennis, thank you, and welcome to the big city.
Nice to be here in swinging Gotham. Listen, when Holder stepped on, I said, the only puzzlement I have right now is when the next time I hear from this guy, will it be to advance the case of Abu Jamal or Leonard Peltier? Because I guarantee you, that's when we'll hear about him next.
Yeah, or when he's nominated for the Supreme Court.
Believe that. Unbelievable!
Yeah, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg steps down and he's the next logical ascension to the court is his, which we pray doesn't happen. But
well, she's so short, I'm hoping that nobody will notice when she stepped down. People just go, she's still there. And I go, no, she stepped down. Really? I didn't see her when she was there.
Who knew?
But it is crazy about failing upward. Your thoughts on the resignation of Holder? And I don't know, would that not be a place where Republicans took their stand and just as, well, they created it, Biden created the term, wouldn't they bork him at some point, or one would hope?
You would think they would, and that's why the timing is so important with when he could possibly be nominated. They could try to push him in the lame duck, believe it or not. I mean, stranger things have happened, but you would hope that the Republicans would have learned their lesson. When he was nominated for Attorney General, there were 39 Republicans in the Senate. 19 of them voted for him, despite, me going to D.C., and not that I'm anything, but, I laid myself out there and explained what kind of guy he was, why releasing or pushing the release of terrorists should disqualify him on its own without any other issues. And he had other issues. But despite that, 19, almost half of the Republicans voted for him. We need to take a stand, Dennis, at some point in our lives. We all do. I'm taking a stand here against Holder and other issues. It's about time the Republicans man up and they make a stand against whoever the next Attorney General is, because you get the feeling that he's going to be Holder or worse, Holder-like or worse. Or if Holder does get nominated to the Supreme Court.
Folks, listen, I'm not a huge fan of the Supreme Court. I've read enough on it, including Mark Levin's brilliant book on the Supreme Court, to think that these men are all, listen, there's a lot of hacks that have ascended. Can I tell you, he would be the hackiest. He would be the absolute, that man is a functionary. Yeah. He is, in essence, a take-the-hit guy for an inept president. We're talking to Joe Connor. He lost his father to the FALN, and eventually they are granted clemency.
Yep.
By the Clinton administration through the good offices of Eric Holder to a large degree. But let's move on to some of the more, there's a checklist here of things that are so stupefying that you can't believe they would ascend you, but rather you would be dispatched in some sort of shame. His involvement in the Bergdahl release, also his from day one, his proclaimed involvement in cleaning out Gitmo.
Yeah, that's been, one of his goals, clean out Gitmo. The Bergdahl release was run through the Justice Department. So, anything you can say would be backwards in this country, it's going to happen right now. And this is, and
through the looking
glass.
And Eric
Holder has been the focal point of much of that.
Yes. I feel like I'm Alice in Wonderland. He's the guy who's rushing us along, and telling me to eat the hallucinogen cookie. You know, right off the bat, I never got the fact that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, I think they wanted to bring him to New York and put him on Judge Judy, for God's sakes. He's not even an American citizen. How does he get into the same court system that allowed OJ to walk away until he eventually busted a door in from some bobbleheads? He gets 30 years for that, decapitating his old lady. He walks. Yeah, let's put this guy in that system, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Because we're looking at a Justice Department and a presidency that doesn't view people as American citizens. They view us as world citizens, and everyone is entitled to what is in the United States. And you can just see it with the borders as porous as they are, with Ebola, with the way that we administer justice to terrorists or not administer it. It is a open world in their view, and you know it's like a balloon. The good doesn't flow into the balloon. All the air flies out of the balloon when you open it up, and we're just going to be like the rest of the world if we continue to allow this to happen, because that's clearly their worldview, and it's not. I've said it before, Dennis. We have a president and an attorney general. They're just not on our side.
I agree with you, Joe. When you can't even shut down flights from a part of the world where there's a plague. It's Guinea. Yeah. It's Liberia. It's Sierra Leone. Take a month off, for God's sakes.
You know, where I work here, I have a woman who works for me, and she is a Liberian native. And she said, we need to shut down the flights from Liberia. Her father's still there. And her view is, close it down. You cannot allow people who are sick to come into this country. When my grandmother, when my mother immigrated to the United States, if they had yellow in their eyes, they were turned around and turned and
exactly. Joe, I was just in South Africa in Mozambique, and I needed a visa to get into Mozambique. I'm telling you, I walked off the airstrip into a small office that over here, quite frankly, would be the office where you store things behind the main office. Mm-hmm. I have two guys there. They're like they seem to be 22 years old, and the first thing they do is peel it open and look for the visa. And I'm telling you, I would have never made it off that tarmac in Mozambique. People say to me, did you feel unsafe when you were in South Africa, Mozambique? No, quite frankly, because Africa shut down travel from Western Africa the next day.
Well, look at in Latin America, they wouldn't let the Carnival Cruise people off the boat. They wouldn't let Americans into Latin America, but we open up our doors for Central and
yeah,
and,
crazy. Imagine when you're on a cruise these days, and you're praying that you just get.
That's your problem.
That's right? How absolutely crazy it's gotten. You're praying for the trots, for God's sakes. You know, to me though, Joe, and we're talking to Joe Connor, and I have to tell you, Joe, the most egregious thing, and I can see they've moved it now into Benghazi land or IRS land, where if you bring it up, you're the crazy racist. Mm-hmm. Honest to God, there were two things up front. One a little less egregious. That was the Skip Gates thing where he said, I don't know anything about this, but the cops were stupid. I thought, that's an odd thing to say. But when I saw footage of those two guys, and I know they've turned this into you being a racist now, two Black Panthers holding a wrench or a pipe or something and turning people away from a polling place. That was it for me. I didn't trust Holder after that.
Yeah, we're all racist. I mean, I went down to D.C. and I never even thought he was Black. I never thought about it. It never occurred to me. I was down there to testify because of what he had done, and the color of his skin had nothing to do with anything. And I wish people would understand that. That's, you know, you can't blame your frailties and your faults on other and you the way you think other people view you, because you just don't know. And you know, the people in this country aren't racist. We're the least racist country in the world. Yet if anything goes wrong, it appears that.
They back you off, you claiming that something's inept they pull the racist thing right away, and you're supposed to walk away like a vampire with a crucifix or something.
Exactly. That's supposed to end the conversation. It's all over at that point. And we need to stand up. It doesn't matter if you're Black or white. You need to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. I have an opinion, and you can't shut me up by accusing me.
What is this campaign at here, Joe? I see a bunch of notes, but I'm not hip to it. Fill me in.
Well, what's going on is there's a guy, Fred Duvall, and he's running for governor in Arizona. And he was on Bill Clinton's task force, his interagency task force on Puerto Rico. So when the FALN was released in 1999, he was the co-chairman of this task force that met with the with the terror supporters.
I got a minute and a half here, Joey, so okay. Between that and the clip, that's what I have time constraint. Go ahead.
Well, Fred Duvall met with the terror supporters, or his group met with the terror supporters, and they worked with Eric Holder to release the FALN.
Right.
So this guy is part of that whole cabal that
Gochtup.
Yep.
So he's one of the herders in the Gochtup. What's the ad about?
Well, the ad's about him, and the ad's about him playing Russian roulette with the American people by being part of the release.
Right.
So we did it about a week ago, or it came out about a week ago, and I just tell a very easy story about how this group was part of the...
Yeah, now they're going to swift boat you. Let me hear a little of the ad here.
Sure.
When he was murdered, my father, Frank Connor, was having lunch with clients at Francis Tavern. The FALN placed a bomb behind the table where he was sitting. It was intended to kill a lot of people. That night, we were going to be celebrating my 9th and my brother's 11th birthdays. The FALN terrorists were convicted of seditious conspiracy. They were put away for an awfully long time. We found out about the clemency by reading about it in the paper. Fred Duvall was the co-chair of the working group that pushed for the release of the FALN. Fred Duvall's group knew about the release, put together meetings with the terror supporters, and they ignored the families. They thought that it would help Hillary Clinton running for senator. They were playing Russian roulette with the American people. Pure, cheap politics. They were unrepentant terrorists, absolutely dedicated to their cause. I don't think Fred Duvall is a leader. He has been a party to a release of terrorists. Would you want someone who pushed terrorists out of prison as your governor?
Good for you, brother. You know, I think you're a menschy kid, man. Well, kid, I'm 60, but you're younger than me. But I'm telling you what, man, I wish you had your dad to visit every day. But I do believe in an afterlife, and you've been such a good son, man. He must cry tears when he sees what you're doing up there. And the day you get onto the other side of that gate, I guarantee you he's a son I left you too soon to know. But thank God you turned into the man you did. You did me proud, brother.
Dennis, that's about the nicest thing you could say to me, and I know he's there. I knew on 9/11 when we got out of the city that day that he was looking after us, and I knew, I get signs here and there that he's looking out for us.
Well, you got shortchanged on this end of it, brother, yeah. But you get to spend eternity with your old man, and I'm telling you what, he's going to be as proud of a cub as a man can be. Thank you, Joey. Go get him. Never forget. Never give up.
Thank you, Dennis, and thanks for being there for us. We really appreciate you.
Later, Gator. Dennis Miller Show.
The Dennis Miller Show.